Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 119. We're going to notice briefly, before we get into our lesson, verse 34. Psalm 119 and verse 34. The psalmist writes here, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Friends, as we embark on this journey through 2013, as we've done the past couple of years, we have a theme for the year. Now, the past couple of years, we've done a formal presentation of our plan of work for that particular year. We've yet to get those back in print. So tonight, we're going to present it kind of informally and have a discussion and a study concerning digging deeper into God's Word and as we go forward through this year. Our theme for this year is that I may know Him, coming from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. We have a desire, we need to have a desire as Christians to better know our Lord, to better know our God, our Savior, who died upon the cross for our sins. And as we've done the past couple of years, we're going to be having what we have termed Digging Deeper Sundays, where we're going to be digging a little bit deeper into God's Word. That's the express purpose of these Sundays. During the course of the year, four to be exact, Rick is going to be delivering those lessons with the purpose of helping us to dig deeper into the Word of God and to get to know our God a little better and have a better understanding of our God. Now, each of our guest speakers throughout the year as well, our summer series, our gospel meetings, they're going to be helping us to dig deeper into God's Word for that same purpose. And the plan of work that you're going to have in your hands by next week has contained within it all the dates of our gospel meetings for the next few years, the topics and dates for our summer series, as well as our goals and objectives and strategies for meeting those things for the coming year. Now, friends, we talk all the time. I want to concentrate tonight on digging deeper into God's Word. As Rick will be bringing our first series of lessons and digging deeper that we may know our God next Sunday, I want us to concentrate on that tonight and figure out, let's discuss, let's study what it really means for us to dig deep into the Word of God. Now, friends, we talk all the time. You hear it said time and time and time again from the pulpit. You probably even say it yourselves that we have a need to study, or really, just, most of the time when we talk to others about it, we just talk about what? Reading it. Just reading our Bibles. And oftentimes we run, no doubt, to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You've heard it countless times. You've probably quoted it countless times as you're talking to other Christians about studying the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Now, friends, as we think about that, I want you to think about for just a moment that verse and exactly what it's saying. Number one, study to show thyself approved unto God. It doesn't say read. It says to study. And friends, that's going to take more than me sitting down at the coffee table or at the breakfast table or out on my patio or whatever the case may be in the mornings and just thumbing through here. Let me open up here and I just open my Bible here to John chapter 21. Let me read a few verses from this without having the goal in mind of what is this really saying. I'm simply going to read it. Friends, we have a responsibility concerning God's Word to do more than just read it. We need to dig deep. We need to study it. Friends, while reading the Bible on a regular basis is great, there's a need for us as Christians to get back to really studying our Bibles with the goal of understanding what it is that we've read. If we don't truly understand what we've read and studied, using that word loosely for a moment, if we don't truly understand what we've read, how can we rightly divide the Word of God? Simple fact of the matter is that we can't. If we don't understand what we've read, how can we use the Word of God aright? Now, friends, really digging into the Word of God is going to better equip us to deal with the storms of life as well as help our faith to grow. So I want us to talk about and discuss and study three things tonight together concerning digging deeper into the Word of God. Number one, digging deeper is going to help us better understand God's Word. There's no way you can get around that. If we're going to dig deeper into God's Word, we're going to better understand it. Digging deeper is going to help us, number two, to evangelize the lost. And digging deeper, number three, is going to help us to better love our brethren. Number one, digging deeper will help us to better understand God's Word. And friends, if you were to go to Webster's Dictionary and you were to look the word understanding up, you'd find this definition. It means to comprehend or apprehend the ideas or sense of another or of a writing, learning or being informed. The second definition of the word is knowing or skillful. And one of the first editions of that particular dictionary, Webster's, I found this. Saying of the word understanding, Webster says there that it is the faculty of the human mind by which it apprehends the real state of things presented to it, or by which it receives or comprehends the ideas which others express and intend to communicate. The understanding is called also the intellectual faculty. It is the faculty by means of which we obtain a great part of our knowledge. By understanding, I mean that faculty whereby we are enabled to apprehend the objects of knowledge, generals or particulars, absent or present, and to judge their truth or falsehood, good or evil. Now that we have a working understanding of the word understanding, a working knowledge of this word, what does the Bible say concerning understanding the Bible? I found it interesting that as we go to the books of wisdom, or sometimes called poetry in the Old Testament, if you only look in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, you find this word understanding used 67 times. My friends, that's more than a third of the time that it's used in the entire Bible. It's used 160 times in the 66 books of the Bible. 67 of those times are found in the Psalms and Proverbs, and time and again, in these two books, the importance of understanding the Word of God is expressed. Let's go back to Psalm 119. We're not going to notice all 67, but there are a few here, 8 to be exact, in Psalm 119. So we'll just look at this one chapter and notice the importance here of understanding the Word of God. Notice what the psalmist says. Look at verse 34 again to begin with. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Friends, if we don't understand the law of God, how can we keep it? We have to dig into God's Word to understand what it is that He desires for us, that He commands of us, or else we cannot keep it, truly keep it as it ought to be kept. And notice here the psalmist says that once he has this understanding, that he can know the law and that he shall keep the law, he says, I will observe it, not partially, not the parts of it that he finds convenient, but he says, I will observe it with my whole heart. Friends, quite simply, we can't keep the law if we don't understand it. Drop down to verse 73. 119:73. Psalmist says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn Thy commandments. Friends, what we take from this verse is that understanding, the understanding of God's Word, brings about better learning. I'm sure there have been times, as maybe you've just read the Bible, you've opened it up, you've read a couple of things, and you read those things time and time again. Whatever the case may be. There have been times, I'm sure, that you go to a passage that you have read, that you've heard quoted, that you've done, you've talked about this passage numerous times. But you open it up this morning and you look at this passage and you read it again and something there clicks that never clicked before. We all have. When we better understand God's Word, when we strive to better understand God's Word, that allows us, friends, to have better learning concerning God's Word. Drop down to verse 99. The psalmist writes here, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Friends, understanding God's Word, really understanding it, digging deeper into it that we may understand it, it allows us to think upon the Word of God on a constant basis. No doubt, as we think and dwell upon maybe what we term our favorite passages, we don't even have to have a Bible with us. We don't even have to have it open because we've got this particular passage burned in our memory, and we begin to think on those things and meditate on it as the psalmist writes. How can I apply this to my life? How can I better use this to gain more understanding of God's Word? Understanding allows us to think upon the Word of God on a constant basis. Look at verse 104. Through thy precepts, rather, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Friends, as you read the Bible, we understand that there is evil in the world. As you look about you, as you turn on the news tonight, as you pick up the newspaper to read it, you understand that there's evil in the world. You know that. But the psalmist here says that because he studies, he has a working knowledge, he understands what God's precepts are. Through thy precepts, he says, I get understanding. And for that reason, because I understand what it is that you desire from me, I hate not just a few, but I hate every false way. Friends, that ought to speak to us directly as Christians. We ought not allow ourselves to become so entangled in the world because we understand God's Word. We should not allow ourselves to become so entangled in the world that the world can't tell the difference between us and them. Understanding, quite simply, the psalmist says here, helps to keep us from sin. We must dig deeper into God's Word to gain that understanding. Look at verse 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Again here, the psalmist speaks of understanding and knowing, better knowing the Word of God. Understanding is going to help us better know our God. How many of us here tonight don't want to know our God? Don't want to know Him better, have a better and closer relationship with Him? And if that's the case, friends, we need to do more than just read. We need to study it. Don't understand the passage? Find the parallel one. You know, oftentimes, too often, I think we'll look at a passage and we'll run and ask the preacher or an elder, or maybe we'll run and find a commentary. Friends, why not let the Bible, first of all, be its own commentary to begin with? There are commentaries and people can help us study. But friends, you'll find out a lot of times that as you really study your Bible and as you look for those parallel passages, a lot of times it explains itself. And we are able to gain better understanding to help us better know our God. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I love that passage. What's the psalmist saying here? Friends, you don't have to be smart to know God. You don't have to be Einstein. You don't have to score a perfect 36 on your ACT.
Word of God gives understanding to the simple. The gospel message, the message that God intends for us to have is a simple message. One that all can understand and follow. Understanding is something we can all have of God's Word. Let's look at these last two. Verse 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. But friends, what I take there from verse 144 is that understanding God's Word, really understanding it, is going to allow us to live a fuller life before God. You think about Paul and all the things that he suffered in preaching the gospel. How and why was he able to continue to preach and to go forth as a Christian through all of that? It was because he understood the purpose behind what he was preaching. He was able, even though he suffered those beatings, even though he was stoned, even though he was taken prisoner and eventually beheaded, he lived life to his fullest. He had a full and happy life as a Christian. Why else would he have written almost half of our New Testament books? Because he knew the good news that needed to be spread around the world. Understanding the Word of God allows us to have and to live a fuller life. Let's notice the last one. Verse 169. Let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy Word. Now friends, notice here what the psalmist says, understanding according to thy word. We don't need to be taking what a man says at face value. We need to look at the Word of God. The psalmist didn't want man's wisdom. When Paul preached to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, I did not come to you with man's wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about the wisdom of God being foolishness to men. Or the foolishness of God, rather, talking about the wisdom there of men compared to the foolishness of God. Friends, if we're going to have proper understanding, it's going to be according to the Word of God, not man's wisdom. But rather, God's Word. Now friends, if we are to live the best Christian life possible, we've got to do more than just read the Word. We'd better dig into it and do all that we can to understand it. To understand it, we've got to dig deep and get at the meat of the Word. Paul talks about those that ought to be teachers. He had need to preach to them again concerning the very first things that they had learned. When we better understand God's Word, we better realize the value of souls. And when we better realize the value of souls, friends, that understanding is going to help us to better evangelize the lost. So point number two. Digging deeper will help us to better evangelize the lost. But friends, that's just common sense, at least the way that I'm looking at it. If we better understand God's Word, we can better evangelize the lost. If we're going to be an evangelistic people, as we ought to be, as Christians, if we're going to be an evangelistic people, we had best understand what it is that we are to convey to the lost. Quite simply, one cannot teach what he does not understand. There can be no doubt as to the importance of evangelism in the Lord's church. Without evangelism, what happens to the church? It dies. It will be no more. With evangelism, the church cannot help but to grow. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, Luke records what is happening there
with the church. At the end of chapter 7, Stephen has been stoned. And at the beginning of chapter 8, it says that Saul, who we better know as Paul, was consenting unto his death. Friends, that would lead one to believe that this Saul of Tarsus was a ringleader in this. And he was responsible, for, no doubt, for the countless arrests and deaths of other Christians. But in chapter 8 and verse 4, as Saul was wreaking havoc upon the church in Jerusalem, they began to scatter. But notice verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Didn't matter where they went. Philip took the gospel message to Samaria. Now think about the significance of that for just a moment. These people didn't like one another. Jews did not like the Samaritans. Samaritans in turn did not like the Jews. Jews would go so far as when they were traveling from north to south, they would cross over to the east side of Jordan, go as far north or south as they needed to go, and then cross back over rather than taking the direct line straight through. They wanted nothing to do with each other. But as Philip was scattered out of Jerusalem, we find him in Samaria, preaching the word of God. And as he preached, men and women obeyed. In Acts chapter 10, Peter took the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile. Again, not someone necessarily that Jews really looked forward to meeting. And yet he preached the gospel. And at the end of him preaching, as the Holy Spirit then fell upon Cornelius and his household, they began to speak in tongues. What was Peter's response? I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And so from that point forward, friends, the gospel went into all the world. There's an importance in evangelizing. You think about all the men and the kingdoms throughout history that have done their dead level best to stamp out Christianity. Namely, Rome. There was a man by the name of Voltaire that decided to make the prophecy, so to speak, that within 100 years of his lifetime, that not a single Bible would be left, that Christianity would be dead. Ironically, about 100 years later, they were printing Bibles out of his house on his press. Now, friends, how important is evangelism? Well, you think about this. Philip took it to Samaria. Peter took it to Cornelius. Paul took it all over Asia and into Europe. Romans 10 and verse 18. This is one of a few verses. But Romans 10 and verse 18 says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." Friends, if evangelism was not important, why would Jesus give to His disciples the Great Commission and tell them, command them to go into all the world preaching the gospel, baptizing followers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And He follows that up with, in Matthew chapter 28, to teach them whatsoever I have commanded you. They were to go, they were to evangelize, the church was to grow. Daniel prophesied of it. Isaiah prophesied of it. Indirectly, the church was going to destroy Rome. The greatest empire the earth has ever seen. And it was described as a mere pebble hitting the statue. And it began to grow. Friends, quite frankly, as we think about evangelism and our job to evangelize the lost, that is our number one job as Christians. Our number one job as Christians is to evangelize. Your number one job as a Christian is to teach others concerning the Word of God. But friends, sadly, this is an area where we fail much too often. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus is gathering the men who are to become His apostles, the 12. And He's passing by a boat. And He sees there some fishermen. One of whom was Peter.
And he simply says to them, follow me, Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Friends, what did Jesus mean by this? What did he mean by they would be fishers of men? Friends, really you just look at it. They were going, rather than catching fish, they were going to be catching souls. We've announced for the past couple of weeks an upcoming class that we're going to be hosting here. The Fishers of Men class. And it's an evangelism class. We have, I looked at it just before service started tonight, we have 9 signed up right now. We have 6 more slots open. We want to encourage anybody that is willing and able to take that class. It's going to help us to learn better how to approach someone with the gospel. Because oftentimes when we talk about evangelism, we talk to others about studying the Bible, oftentimes the excuse, and friends, it's an excuse, it's not a reason. The excuse that we give is, I don't know how. Dig deeper into God's Word. We're shown how. Paul quite simply says concerning evangelism, that he became all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. Do whatever it takes concerning the Word of God. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Friends, let me ask a question concerning evangelism. How many souls have you caught lately? How many souls have you caught lately? Now friends, as we do, as we need to emphasize evangelism, we cannot forget loving our brethren. Digging deeper, number 3, is going to help us to better love our brethren. Now friends, while evangelizing the lost is one of our number one jobs, if not our number one job, we must learn to better love our brethren within the Lord's church. 4 times within the book of John, twice in chapter 13 and twice in chapter 15, Jesus mentions his followers, mentions to his followers to love one another, or loving one another. 3 of those times, it is a command. Let's go to John 13. John 13, and notice with me verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says here, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Command, right? Look at verse 35. Why is it that we are to love one another to such a degree? Notice what Jesus says. By this, that ye love one another as I have loved you, by this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 17, Jesus reemphasizes this command. In verse 12 of chapter 15, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, he says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Now friends, Jesus uses the word agapao and agape, simply different forms of the same word. Meaning that they were to love one another more than they loved themselves. It was to be a sacrificial type love. We understand that word, agape. We know what it means. You've heard it countless times from this pulpit, and hopefully you studied that word yourself. But friends, maybe we forget this sometimes, what this love really is, what it is to mean to Christians, to brethren. We are to love our brethren. We are to love one another as Christians to the point that it becomes a point of recognition of Christians to the rest of the world. Friends, what sets us apart, one of the great things, as Jesus pointed out in John chapter 12, or 13 rather. What is one of the things that is to set us apart from the rest of the world is the love that we have for our brethren. Can the world tell that you're a Christian by how you treat your brethren? Do you give them deference? Friends, I fear that's not the case with most that claim to be Christians today. When we have love for our brethren as we ought to have, many things will be different in our world. We know that agape means a love that is sacrificial in nature, a love that causes one to place others before himself. You need to do nothing more than read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to see that Jesus exemplified that kind of love. In Ephesians chapter 5, as we noticed this morning, husbands are commanded to have this type of love for their wives. Friends, Christians are to have it for one another. Jesus commands it. If we truly love our brethren, friends, think about this for just a moment. If we truly love our brethren and want to encourage one another unto love and good works, we would never willfully miss another opportunity to assemble with the saints. We would never allow matters of opinion to drive a wedge so deep that we cannot worship our Creator together. We would never refuse to help one another. When we truly love our brethren, we would help one another in times of trouble and in times of ease, not just when someone needs it. Friends, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I think Paul gives us a great example of what this love is. Romans chapter 12, and I want you to notice with me, beginning in verse 9. Notice what Paul says here. Let love be without dissimulation. It is not to be feigned. It's not to be fake. It's to be real. It's to be from the heart. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Friends, what this means is that this love is not to be selfish. My brethren, come before myself. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Prince Paul gives us a very apt description, a very great word picture concerning Christian love, one for another. We should show this love, friends, both to our brethren and those that are outside of Christ. And when we dig deeper into God's Word, when we really study it as we ought, and when we dig deeper and we grasp for a better understanding, we will not be able to better love our brethren with the love of Christ. Digging deeper will help us to do that, to better understand God's Word. Friends, we have a need to really get at the meat of the matter. To really get at the meat of the Word, so that we can continue to grow closer to our God and our Creator. Let's dig deep as we study together this year. Let's really dig deep into God's Word. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. My friends, I don't know about you, but I am very much so looking forward to our Digging Deeper Sundays and really our entire year as we begin to dig deeper into God's Word and to get to and to get to know our God even better. It is something that we ought to be excited about. And I would encourage each of us as we go throughout this week, looking forward to next Sunday, that anybody that you may come in contact with, let them know about our study this Sunday. The subjects and the topics for this Sunday are in the bulletin. Get them here so that they can better know our God as we strive to do so. But friends, as we study God's Word, there are things that we come across here that if we miss it, if we miss everything else, we'd better not miss this. Is that God is going to hold all accountable concerning what they do in this life. And that the only way that one may attain or is to obtain salvation is through obedience to God's commands. God commands us that we believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who that He said that He is. That He came to this earth, He bled and died for the remission of our sins. Friend, are you here tonight believing that with all of your heart? As we continue to study God's Word, Jesus tells us that we must repent. Luke 13 and verse 3. Turning our back on the world, giving our life unto Him. That we must confess Him before men as so that He will confess us before the Father. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And we must be baptized, friends, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Mark 16, 16. Acts 2 and verse 38. Friends, would you do those things tonight? Would you come to a better understanding and a better knowledge of our God? By putting Him on in baptism. Friends, if you're here and you've done that, have you fallen away? Have you turned your back on Christ, gone back to the world? Friends, come home. Don't leave this building tonight without making yourself right with God. Would you come tonight, right now, while we stand and while we sing?